2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
You might like to keep your Bibles open at that passage as we look through it together today. And there's also, you would have received on the back of the song sheet, there's a little outline of my talk. How about we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would teach us through your word today, that we would have ready and listening ears and a heart that desires to know you and follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you want to make someone feel awkward or stop a conversation, then talk to them about death. Death for many of us these days is a taboo subject or something we don't talk about or even want to think about. Yes, of course, many of us witness thousands of deaths, don't we, on TV or our computer screens. But these are mostly fake. Even if they are real, they still seem kind of worlds away, far away from our lives, belonging to people, places, wars, catastrophes, Haiti, that normally have no direct or personal impact on us or those we love. Even if a family member or a friend close to us dies, compared with perhaps what was more common in the past, today they often die, if you like, off stage, in a hospital or an old people's home, and often when they're old. And I think this removes us from the full reality of death, especially when perhaps the only close encounter we have with the person who has died is their coffin at their funeral. It seems we're often happy with this situation because to face the subject of death means we are forced to grapple, to deal with our own mortality, our own coming death. But no matter how much we try to deny it, death is a reality that we all face. Yeah, we can prolong our lives for maybe 3, 10 or 20 years through, you know, good eating, healthy eating, regular exercise, modern medicine. But at the end, we too will die. As the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible wisely puts it in chapter 8, no man has power over the wind to contain it. So no one has power over the day of his death. Or as the modern proverb puts it, there are only two things certain in life, death and taxes. For this reason, it would seem that we would be wise, that we would do well to talk about death, to be aware of its reality and prepare for it as best we can. As the writer of Ecclesiastes in the Bible also puts it in chapter 7, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. So there's wisdom in thinking about it. But many of us still don't want to talk about death because it forces us to face our deepest fears and uncertainties. If this life is all there is, then when we die, we lose everything. All our hopes, our aspirations, everything we've worked for, our deepest relationships. So rather than face our fears, we don't talk about death. But when we look at the Bible, at the writings of the Apostle Paul, we see that he was not afraid at all to talk about death. And this wasn't because Paul had some romantic view about it. Paul was well aware of the horror of death. The reason he was not afraid to talk about death was because he believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus gave Paul hope and confidence. And from today's passage, I want to mention three ways in which Paul's belief in the resurrection of Jesus gave him confidence to live and serve God. Three ways I think Jesus' resurrection can give us confidence too, to serve and live for God in this world. Well, firstly, Paul's belief in the resurrection of Jesus gave him confidence in the face of death. If you look there in the passage in 2 Corinthians 4:13 to 14, we see Paul writes, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." You see, Paul was firmly convinced that Jesus had died and risen from the dead for our sins, and that through trusting in him, we too, when we die, can overcome death's grip and experience new life. For this reason, he had confidence and he did not fear death. As Paul writes further in chapter 5, verse 1, have a look at that. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul was a tent maker by trade, so he knew very well kind of the temporary, the unsatisfactory nature of tents as dwellings. He knew how a tent, in many ways, was a perfect picture of the fragile nature of our present lives, the uncertain nature of our present lives. He compares then this image or this picture of a tent to the permanent and far more glorious future dwelling that God offers us through the resurrection of his son Jesus, a firm building is pictured as. If we trust in Jesus, he's saying, for forgiveness, we do not have to fear death because through Jesus God offers us life beyond death, as a certain future hope beyond this uncertainty, this fragile life, this tent. Friends, have you trusted in Jesus for forgiveness and the new life he offers through his resurrection from the dead? Have you trusted? But what is the nature of this new life, this eternal future resurrection life beyond death that Jesus wants to give us? What is it? What's it like? Some Christians think that what is being offered here is some kind of release of our spirits or our souls from our bodies. Some kind of release or freeing so that we can be with God in some kind of non-physical, spiritual realm. That our bodies, like the rest of this physical world, are evil. Evil shells that Jesus has to rescue us out of. They say, perhaps, maybe you've heard it, like a butterfly needs to be released from its cocoon so it can fly. So we need to be released by Jesus from our evil bodies so our spirits can truly be free. And I think if we're not careful, we too can mistakenly read today's Bible passage this way. In particular, chapter 5, verse 8, where it speaks about going away from the body that we're in to be home with the Lord. However, I think the Bible as a whole, and this passage in particular, teaches that Jesus' offer of resurrection life is not about freeing us from our bodies so much as restoring and renewing, transforming our bodies. It is a radical renewal and renovation rather than a radical departure and evacuation, if you like. In Jesus' resurrection, he offers us the real hope of new transformed bodies, free from sin, death, just like him and his body. I think chapter 5, verse 4 then makes this point quite clear. Here we read, verse 4, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Paul is speaking not about escape from or the removal of our bodily clothing as such, but rather about our bodies being renewed, transformed, further and better clothed. Clothed no longer with the decay and the mortality that we feel so much in our lives. And clothed no longer with all the effects of sin that are to do with that. But clothed instead with full and wonderful eternal life beyond death. Sinless hearts that are ready to please God. Transform bodies that will live forever beyond death with God and his people in God's transformed and restored new world. God's not just on about restoring our bodies, he's on about restoring this whole world. And this understanding of the resurrection, I think, fits well with the rest of the scriptures. It fits also well with Jesus' own bodily resurrection. He appeared to his disciples, didn't he? He had a bodily resurrection. And it also fits well, I think, with the Bible's constant reminder, its constant affirmation of the goodness of creation, including our bodies, and God's commitment, therefore, not to destroy our bodies, but to resurrect them, to redeem them, and to restore them. So Paul's belief in the resurrection of Jesus gave him confidence to face death, knowing that through trusting in Jesus, he too could overcome death's grip and have eternal life. Do you share this confidence? You can find it in Jesus. And Paul also knew this reality of life beyond death. He knew it not just as a future hope, but as a present experience too. We see in chapter 4, verse 16, have a look at there, 4:16. He writes, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." Paul here expresses a truth taught in the scriptures that the future resurrection age to come, or the new creation to come, is already through the work of the Spirit in us, guaranteed, and if you like, breaking in, starting. It's a future event, the resurrection, ultimately, but it's already starting. We already have a present experience of it in the Holy Spirit's work within us. As Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 5, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Through the inner working of his Spirit in believers, the risen Christ has already begun his work of creating new people out of the old. The inner work of the Spirit is God's pledge, as I said, or guarantee, that assures us that God has not abandoned us, but that Jesus will one day complete this work of transforming us when he returns. It's like, if you like, one of these, it's a bit like one of these still so common grand old Leipzig buildings. But I'm talking about one of these grand old Leipzig buildings that is in total need of repair. Outwardly, these buildings, or our lives, to the world, they appear unchanged, falling apart. We remain in a world that is falling and decaying too. And each of us still suffers the consequences and effects of that on our bodies, on our lives. We face various trials, and outwardly, each of our bodies are slowly dying and wearing out. That's the reality, isn't it? At the same time, however, through the inner work of the Holy Spirit, God has begun his renovation work on us, starting on the inside where no one else can see, God can see, working on every room, changing our attitudes, growing in us a heart more and more like Jesus that wants to please God, a heart that walks by faith, not by sight. The world can't see this, we can't see this, but we know by faith and we know by the transforming, changed life that the Spirit works in us that God's at work. A heart, as chapter 4, verse 18 puts it, that looks not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are still unseen, to our bodily resurrection and God's future restored world. Knowing that the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So despite the reality of death and his falling apart body, Paul could still rejoice and be confident because of the resurrection of Jesus. As his body progressively got old and wore out, he knew at the same time God was progressively transforming him inwardly and preparing him for eternity, for the full restoration, bodily and inwardly and everything. If this body was destroyed, he knew he had a better and transformed eternal body awaiting him beyond the grave. And Paul's life and ministry reflected this confidence. Like Paul, we too as Christians do not need to live in fear of death, for Jesus has overcome death. And if we trust in him, we will defeat death too. I'm often encouraged by some of the older Christians I meet, and just they're getting older, but just how much certainty they have of that as they've grown in their Christian faith. It's a beautiful thing to see, unlike some older people who are very grumpy and fed up with the world because they know their time is almost over. And like Paul, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we do not to be anxious and depressed when we notice our bodies aging, changing and physically declining, when the grey hairs start to come, when getting around is not as easy as it used to be. We do not need to spend all our money and our time vainly, sort of fruitlessly, grappling to hold on to our youth, our eternal youth, which is a false concept, isn't it? When we know one day Jesus will make all things new, including us, if we continue to trust in him. In fact, I think as the next point I want to say will show us in more detail, it makes much better sense to be using our resources, our time, our energy, telling others about the radical makeover or the radical renovation work that Jesus offers us in his resurrection. So secondly, we see from today's passage that Paul's belief in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead gave him confidence to proclaim Christ. Reading again, have a look at chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." We see here Paul's belief in the resurrection translated naturally into his confident proclamation or telling others about Jesus. If Jesus had truly died and risen for our sins, as Paul believed, how could he not share this great news with all those around him in the hope that they too may share with him in this gracious blessing, and of course that God may be glorified through all this? It's a bit like if I tell my kids a secret, my 5-year-old Isaac, he finds it really hard to keep it in. Very hard. Well, Paul's like that with this message, and hopefully we will be as Christians. He just can't keep it in. He knew it to be true. He knew that Jesus was the only hope of forgiveness and eternal life. So he confidently proclaimed it. He couldn't keep it in. May we, friends, know this same confidence in Christ because of his resurrection. And may we know it especially as this Easter Unpacked outreach approaches. This time we have a special time to share Christ with others together. Let's be excited about the great message of hope and escape from death and fear that Jesus brings. And let's, like Paul, take the opportunities that God gives us during this time to share Jesus with our friends and those around us. And to invite people to come along to the events of Easter Unpacked to hear about him. And Paul kept confidently and consistently sharing Christ with others, even if it meant on a number of occasions he was pouring out and risking his own life in doing this. We won't look at it now, but Psalm 116, which he quotes here, Paul quotes in chapter 4, verse 13, like this psalmist, in the midst of his affliction, in the midst of his troubles and trials, Paul believed in God's power and faithfulness to deliver him from death. Let us keep praying then for the German missionary family. I think they're still there in Yemen in hostage. Is that right? I haven't heard the latest. They're still being held as hostages, missionaries in Yemen. And praying for other Christians in situations where, in similar hard situations, that they would continue to have courage to proclaim Christ, confident that Jesus is where true hope is found, confident that God will ultimately deliver and glorify them. And let's keep ourselves dwelling on Jesus' death and resurrection, and to give us confidence, like Paul, to live our lives and to tell others about him, no matter what the cost. Maybe for some of us that will lead to us going to some of these hard places. But even if this is not God's path for us, my hope and prayer is that we may know this confidence of the resurrection hope in Jesus, and thankfully and sacrificially give our lives for his cause, for the gospel, and not vainly spend all our time trying to secure our hope in this present life, in things, in money, in health, but instead give our lives to his purposes, remembering that this world is transient, but the new life Jesus offers is eternal. Well, thirdly and finally then, we see from today's passage that Paul's belief in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead gave him a confident new perspective on suffering. A confident new perspective on suffering. Of course, I've already touched, I suppose, a lot on this topic of suffering and already in this talk, but I just wanted to make two further brief points about this before concluding. We read from verse 16 of chapter 4, Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature self is wearing away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Firstly, we see here that belief in Jesus' resurrection helped Paul to realise that the present sufferings we experience in this world, and at times particularly for being Christians, are only little or short compared with the greatness, the eternal nature of his resurrection hope, or of our resurrection hope in Christ. My 2-year-old son, Jackson, has a blanket that he likes to take to bed and everywhere with him. Separating him from this blanket to give it the occasional wash causes major cries at times. Lately, though, he's become a bit more willing to give up his blanket for a clean. Perhaps he now realises that suffering the loss of the blanket for one day is nothing really, is when, you know, he's going to get a nice clean blanket back for a long period and smells good. This is part of the new perspective Paul wants to give us on suffering, to help us confidently persevere in the midst of it. It's just like doing without our blanket for the night. It's short. It is light and momentary compared to the eternal resurrection glory that awaits us with Jesus. We continually need to get that perspective. It's so hard, isn't it? But that's the perspective Paul wants to remind us of. Secondly, we see here that belief in Jesus' resurrection helped Paul to realize that the present sufferings we face in this world are actually being used by God to graciously prepare us as believers for glory. God's actually using these sufferings to prepare us for glory. This is the second part of this confident new perspective on suffering that the resurrection gives. We see this in verse 17 again. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But how do our trials and afflictions prepare us for glory? Paul does not mean that through our sufferings we somehow earn our own way to heaven, because the Bible makes clear, no, it's by grace, by Jesus alone. What I think Paul is saying here is that the troubles and afflictions, these troubles and afflictions and sufferings that we face in life, they cause us, as verse 18 puts it, to look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Not to the transient things, but eternal. You see, our trials and sufferings help us realize that the things of this present world, including our own bodies, are falling apart, and that we'd be foolish putting our ultimate hope and security in them. Our trials and sufferings, they cause us instead to groan for and focus our eyes more on Christ and the certain hope he has established for us in his resurrection. And again, an illustration. It's a bit like, I think, when we have an old pair of trousers. It's wearing out. It's got holes. If we see those holes and they're getting bigger, we know that we need to buy a new pair, unless perhaps you like holes in trousers. In the same way, we experience the sufferings and the afflictions of this world, and we see the wearing out nature of this on our lives and those around us as we long more and more for our glorious resurrection bodies and eternity with Christ. We focus our lives and times on this future hope, this wearing out. Seeing this wearing out helps us to do that. It's not to say that we reject our bodies or taking care of the physical needs of others. It's rather that our sufferings have given us a confident new perspective. We know now that our ultimate hope is our future hope, where it lies. It lies with Jesus. It lies in the resurrection. So we don't get fooled by the many commercials around us that offering this and this and this if you want to have a secure, a hopeful life, if you want to have a confident life. Because we know it is in Jesus and his resurrection alone. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus gave the Apostle Paul's life an amazing new confidence. Confidence to live for Christ and proclaim him. Confidence to persevere despite realizing realizing its temporariness and understanding how God was using it or uses it for us. And confidence to face the ultimate enemy of death, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus would one day breathe that same resurrection life of Christ into our own body. Friends, let us, like Paul, look to the resurrected Jesus this week and beyond to find our sure confidence. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your Son, in Jesus Christ, and his resurrection, we can truly have confidence. We thank you that he has died and risen for our sins so that death we no longer need to fear. We thank you that we can be confidently proclaiming him because he is the one who reigns and the one who gives life and the one that all need to hear about. And even if some of us may suffer hard proclaiming him, we know that we will one day be restored and with you. And we do pray for the missionaries in Yemen, that German family and others like them who suffer so much. Give them courage. Heavenly Father, we pray, we thank you that the resurrection gives us also a new perspective on suffering, knowing that you use it and knowing that it's just light. It's just like a little blanket of a kid getting washed compared to what you have waiting for us, that whole great weight of glory in Jesus. Help us to keep groaning and longing for that day, having this perspective, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.